founded in 1991 by patients, the FSH Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSH Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of men, women, and children affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSH Society Radio. Welcome, welcome one and all to the FSH Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being a part of the show tonight. This is what, the May edition, May 31st, 2018. We have a great guest lined up tonight. He is Dave Lucas, and he is the, I guess you could say, the meeting organizer, meeting leader of the Chicagoland FSH Society meeting group. So we're happy to have him aboard today. Looking forward to speaking with him a little bit. I think it's going to be a blast. Hearing kind of his story and how it all unfolded for him, creating the FSH Chicagoland Group, which I attended one of their meetings. I look forward to attending more. So we're going to have him on. A lot of other things going on. We got news and notes tonight, of course. So we got a big Vegas event coming up in the FSH Society. That's June 8th. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Excited for that. I guess once again, you know, that always seems to be a big theme. And going on here in the FSH radio show is really community. It's building community. I like to think of this as a help, obviously, in that regard. Always want you guys to call in, chat room in. We have all those things available. And you can do that very easily tonight. The chat room's up there at Blog Talk Radio. If you're listening to the show live, you can chat room in. We got two listeners in there right now. One is just listed as a guest, which you can be anonymous. Another one is Sean. He's been on several shows listening in and has been a guest on a show. So happy to have him in there. You can also dial in, and that's 949-270-5953. That is the number to dial in. So if you wanted to talk with me, you got some time. We can take your calls, take your story if you'd like. We can get you in that way. Or if you want to wait till towards the end of the show, we can bring your call in as well. So there's really a big push for me to have this become more and more of a support group, community support group. I'm going to have definitely more of a push for that when I present something at the Vegas event. I will not be there face-to-face as I was hoping, but I have something planned with Jun Kinoshita of the FSH Society, and really it's going to be a call to arms, so to speak, a call of community. I want your stories. Story Corps is kind of what Jun has called it, and we wanted to try to pull it off live there and get some stories from people, but since that will not happen, that doesn't mean it can't happen at all. So this is what I need. This is what I need from you, the listeners out there. If you've heard of StoryCorps, I think it's like on NPR where people just kind of give their quick blurb story. It's more or less that, but for our FSH community, if you're family member, FSHD patient, if you're a caregiver, family member, friend, a story, maybe a loved one has it and you want to share that story, your battle with it, you can reach me via email. Let's set up a time. Let's chat. Let's talk. That email is fshradiohost@gmail.com. fshradiohost@gmail.com. You can get right a hold of me. You can get a hold of me that way directly. Let's set up a time. Let's hear your story. Let's hit record. What I really want to do is I want to use these stories for upcoming shows. I want to use these stories to share either during our breaks that we have, little commercial breaks, monologue pieces, what have you. And we'd love to share that for everyone to hear. I always invite listeners to be a part of this show. This is not about me. It's not about my show. It's not my show at all. This is something I love to host. It's a passion of mine to do this kind of thing, of course. But so I love it. It entertains me. But this is a passion because I have FSHD. This is a way that I can lend my support in the best way I know how. And that, of course, is bringing you all together. I enjoy doing it each month. And I'm calling you to bring your story in and join us for the Story Corps. There's other people out there in the FSH world that are helping as well. those that are organizing the walk and roll to cure FSH. In five communities right now, Colorado, Ohio, California, Washington State, and North Carolina. These are the dates. In Colorado, will be September 8th, Ohio, September 15th, California, September 16th, in Washington State, September 22nd, and October 7th in North Carolina. All that is available if you want more details of the exact location of those events, how you can maybe get involved and volunteer and help if you live near there and you are able to do that, all at fshsociety.org. That is the website. You can also follow FSH Society on Twitter, on Facebook. There's also great FSH communities on Facebook, like Living with FSH. There's a lot of great communities out there. If you haven't found those, reach out in Facebook. Fantastic place to do that, to kind of gain that. Community. Like I said prior, before I started this, you know, air quotes, you can't see it, air quotes, monologue piece. Because our guest tonight was brave enough to start a meeting group. I'd love to be that brave to start one in my Milwaukee area. I'm only a stone's throw away from Chicago, where our guest Dave Lucas is from. He's from that area. But the challenge that maybe he had to try to start it up, to get people involved, to reach out, how did he get the people to come to the meeting? What was all involved? We're going to ask him those kind of questions today. Because maybe you are thinking in your community, you would love to start something up. And how do you do it? I know I was at a loss to some degree, and maybe you're laughing and thinking, yeah, but Tim, you're on this radio thing. True. But this isn't face-to-face. I have this, I'm just talking in my studio downstairs in my home, in my safe place. And it's not so face-to-face. I'm not trying to organize it at, a library or a Starbucks like Dave Lucas does, or wherever you have your community. But when I attended the Chicagoland meeting, I immediately was connected with these people that I've never met before. And obviously there's a common ground of why we're there, so that helps. But talk about a warm, welcoming experience. You know, I drove a little bit of a ways, and I was fine with that, you know. And I was excited. I was excited to arrive, excited what was in store. Mark Stone was there to talk as well, the CEO of the FSH Society. So, you know, that was a bonus and a plus. But honestly, I would have come anyway because I do long for the community. As much as I love my own family and love my friends that are supporting me and my wife that is supporting me greatly and hears my grunts and groans and aches and pains and helps me, it is nice to join together with those that have this. And there is a bond there that I don't take for granted, and I wasn't a part of it up till the Chicagoland meeting group, and I was happy to be a part of that. Now, virtually, there's also ways to get involved in your community of the FSH Society. You know, like Sean Welsh, who was on our show, you know, several shows back, and he's in the chat room now. He's part of the CT, you know, the Connecticut community group, and they meet virtually, I think via Zoom. Others meet via Skype, like in Washington State. So there's a lot of ways that you can do that. There's a lot of ways you can find a community to be a part of. It is a support group, and I can honestly pleasantly say that the ones I've attended, and I wanted to attend more from different areas to be more involved in that regard, where I can, when I can, and what I found was that it's not a downtrodden complain fest. It is really about, it's just about that. It's about community. It's about support. It's about listening. It's about sharing. As cheesy as that might sound to some, you know, we didn't sing Kumbaya or anything. We kept it very real of what was going on. And now there's kind of a call for the FSH Society to start pushing these groups instead of meeting groups. You know, who's willing to stand up a little bit taller and say, we're going to become an official charter. We're going to talk to Dave Lucas about that. So a lot in store as we talk to Dave. I'm looking really forward to it. I think he's a fantastic human being, great guy, and I'm glad he can come on and share his story. I'm excited to have him on. And I'm looking forward to this conversation. One other quick plug before we take a break. You know, well, a little bit of plug, of course, of the Vegas group. I hope you're all going. If you are going, I want to hear about your story in June when we have our June 27th show. How was it getting there? How was the conference itself? We're going to kind of open the phone lines, I hope, big time in that show. Even if we run long on the June 27th show, I want to hear it. I want to hear people's voices about those that went to the Vegas you know, June 8th, gathering. I want to hear about it. I'm unable to attend, so I want to hear your stories about it. On the June 27th show, also, we have a fantastic guest lined up. I can actually plug a guest ahead of time. This is great, exciting. Kurt Calder, the CEO of AnsonCalder.com, is going to be on, and he has a fantastic website out there. If you're not familiar with Anson Carter, it's basically a company based out of New York City. They craft innovative, contemporary leather goods, you know, like for everyday essential type things. Really cool stuff. Very, very cool stuff. Very quality goods. And they have a link on their website, AnsonCalder.com, called Giving Back. And there's a portion of the proceeds of his profits go to the FSH Society, so he's directly involved. So hence, we call up Mr. Calder and say, can we have you on the show in June? And he immediately responded yes. So I'm excited to have him on as well. So a lot of good things coming, a lot of things in store for us this show and the next. But for right now, I'm going to take a little drink, talking too much. Got to save my breath here for our exciting guest, Dave Lucas, who's coming on next. Let's take our first break. You're listening to the FSH Society Radio Show. You're listening to FSH Society Radio. Hey everyone, this is Tim, host of FSH Society Radio. And get this, in 2014, a Dutch team reported that aerobic exercise training and cognitive behavioral therapy decreased fatigue and improved the quality of life significantly for FSHD patients. This suggests a marked impact in slowing the degeneration of affected muscles. So I don't want to hear any excuses. You can get out there, get active, start exercising, and let's start fighting this thing. Hi, this is Tim again, and have you been recently diagnosed with FSHD and kind of trying to search for answers? I mean, there's so many questions. Where do you go? Well, go to fshsociety.org. Join the FSH Society. Get educated, because knowledge is power. Get active. Connect with local members. Volunteer for research and donate, because without you, we can't fight this. Go to fshsociety.org. Hey, welcome back. Welcome back to the show, FSH Society Radio. Thanks for being here. The May 30th episode with our great guest who is in the call area right now on FSH Society Radio, Dave Lucas. We're going to welcome him in here in just a moment. Let me just give you how to get in touch with us here in the show. Real simple. You can dial in 949-270-5953. Or the chat room, which is up right now on Blog Talk Radio. We have several guests in there. Feel free to give us those questions. Because unlike other maybe not-so-friendly radio hosts, I will let your question be heard. Ask Sean. Ask Sean Welsh. He's in there. Anytime you ask something, I make sure the question gets on to our guest. And with guests, let's bring in right now our featured guest tonight, who is Dave Lucas from the Chicagoland area. Love that term. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Great, Tim. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. I love doing this stuff, so love talking to great people like yourself, and excited to have you on. I'm glad you could take the time and share your story with us tonight. I do appreciate that.
Well, thanks for having me on. I'm honored and humbled.
Humbled? Oh, come on. You do some great volunteer work for the FSH Society. And I wanted to share that, kind of invigorate those that are in the Chicagoland area to come find your meeting group, or those that are maybe itching to help, and how do they do that? You know, how do they start that ball rolling? And I think that you might have a lot to offer in that regard. But before I start with those questions, I'd love to start my guests and kind of get the listener invested in you a little bit more. And that's, I guess, tell us about yourself. We know that you're from the Chicago area. But, you know, all the way up to your you know, FSH diagnosis story. Tell us a little bit of the background of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm from the Chicagoland area, so the northwest suburbs out in Crystal Lake. But as far as my story towards a diagnosis with FSHD, it was about 3 years ago. I was 36 years old and had kind of had a my wife, who was my fiance at the time, were kind of, noticing some, I wasn't taking, I took my shirt off weird, and I couldn't reach things up really high, and, my scapula's winged out a lot, so it was kind of that's not right, and I wonder what's going on. And in hindsight, looking back, I think, I remember seeing pictures of myself in mid-20s, with not being able to raise my arms completely over my head, but really noticed it, in my mid-30s. And thankfully, my story towards a diagnosis, it was not typical. I feel very, very grateful that I got a diagnosis very quickly. I know there's a lot of people in our community that have had to go through 10, 20 different doctors to figure out what's going on. Thankfully, that was not my story. I got keyed in with Dr. Charu Nagar out of Northwestern Medicine. I will plug her until the cows come home. She is absolutely amazing. So saw her and did kind of a physical examination, and sent me for more blood work than I think I've ever had done before. and it was one of those, the tech said, that's a lot of tests. I think I need to go get some more vials. So, but she wanted to rule out just everything. So, kind of let's just see what it is and let's just start crossing things off. It's not this, it's not this, it's not this. And then kind of based on that, so that all those stuff came back, I went and saw her again, and kind of combined with some of my blood work that came back and my clinical examination, she's like, you have FSHD. And she had seen it. She studied at the University of Washington in St. Louis. So she had worked directly with FSHD in med school. So she knew the disease. So that it wasn't this head scratcher. I don't know what this is. She knew. So it was later confirmed with a genetic test, but thankfully, I've only had one neurologist, which I feel very grateful for, and will send anybody else her way so that they can have her kind of look over them too, because she's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Now that kind of brings up a question as you were bringing that story to us, which is I totally agree. It's great when the diagnosis comes relatively quickly. For you, how did that happen? From the time how did you get to her door for her to get the blood tests and to kind of, be, I guess, in the right room and see the right person at the right time? How did you get to that point?
Yeah, it's one of those things that looking back is just one of those, at the time seems random, but just kind of connects itself and everything happens for a reason. So I had a friend of mine from high school that's also just a doctor, and I was talking to him kind of about my, the way my shoulders worked and didn't work, and he's like, I know this, he was kind of a general, he's like, I know this kind of general sports kind of doctor, maybe go see him.
Yeah.
He's really smart. Go see him. And so I saw him locally here in Crystal Lake and, did a whole physical exam and kind of had his whole head scratching and, was kind of like, okay, do we go send him the PT route? And thankfully he paused long enough and kind of looked at all these things and, heard and kind of said, why don't you go see my friend, Dr. Nagar? She's awesome. She's a fantastic doctor. She'll figure out what this is because, I don't really know what it is. So I'm grateful he paused long enough to say, this just doesn't make sense. And rather than, writing a script for PT, go, said, let's go see someone. And so he referred me to Dr. Nagar, and, that kind of started the whole process that I outlined there of seeing her.
Right. Yeah, it does. It is amazing how you're right. Like, we call it meant to be to some degree, right? I mean, I'm similar to you in some of what you were talking about, where I guess if I look back myself, I could definitely say I noticed there was something off, something different, but I didn't know what it was and didn't really pay it much attention because I could still do what I wanted to do. It's not like I, you know, was completely disabled where this drew a lot of attention earlier in my life. It didn't. And no one really noticed it. I mean, think about how many physical examinations we've had throughout our life. And I can always remember my shoulder blades winging more than most. You know, it just was how it just came to be for me. And you're right. Like when you were talked about, when you said you put on your shirt funny, right? My wife, you know, I kind of almost scolded her after I got diagnosed. I'm like, didn't you notice like I put on my jacket weird and stuff? She goes, well, yeah, I always thought it was weird. Like you need all this space to like put your jacket on. And I'm like, why is no one telling me any of this? You know, it's like, you know, it's just so funny how we all just kind of, you know, move along. And that's with everybody, you know, with whatever your something is. And for us, it's obviously FSHD. But and then, of course, then you find a name for it. And when you heard that name, you heard FSHD, and then they use that term, you know, muscular dystrophy. Can you walk us through the emotions, if you're willing to, how that washed over?
I can try, because it was one of those, you know, so, you know, we left her office, and, you know, she said, you know, you have FSHD, we need to confirm with the genetic diagnosis, but I'm, you know, 99% sure this is what you have. And I honestly, I don't remember what I was thinking, but I do remember kind of leaving her office in this like mental fog and getting into my car and just sobbing and kind of just the overwhelming emotion of, you know, what does my future look like? And what's this going to mean? Am I going to die early? Am I going to be in a wheelchair? What, you know, can I not, you know, walk my daughters down the aisle? Like, you know, what are, you know, so he starts playing all these worst case scenarios of, you know, what the disease is. And because I didn't know what it was, you know, I think she probably told us what it was in kind of a Cliff Notes version, but honestly, I don't remember, you know, because I was
kind of in that,
you know, I kind of shut down my brain power at the point. So, you know, so there was that moment of overwhelming, but then certainly then the next stage kicked in of just trying to learn, okay, what is this? And, you know, what can I learn about it? Cause you know, I didn't know anything. So, you know, definitely very overwhelmed and definitely emotional and kind of a lot of worst case scenarios, but, kind of coming out of the rawness of the news was able to get informed and educated and, you know, kind of wrap my head around what the disease is, what it isn't. And, you know, kind of start building up from there.
What was the reaction with your wife and your other family members when you know, tell them this information, this kind of not so great news?
Yeah, I think kind of shock. My wife rolled with it pretty well, and she's also wired in that, you know, let's be a detective and get answers and figure out what this is and, you know, get educated on it. So, you know, we both fed that within each other of trying to learn more to just get educated so that we could be an advocate for me and then sharing it with, you know, my siblings and my parents was kind of just a lot of shock, you know, of, and then I think also from their standpoint too, kind of that, like, well, then there's also that unknown, like, okay, what, so we know generally what muscular dystrophy is and a lot of people know at least conceptually what that is, but okay, how does FSHD the same? How is it different? You know, what is it? So there's kind of that initial shock and, you know, because you know, for me, you know, physically the disease has really just affected my shoulders. So, you know, I'm still walking, I can still run, you know, but it definitely affects, you know, just really my shoulders. So, there's not that you look at me and think that there's something not right. So there's that other piece, like, oh, you have a disease, really? That's, you don't look sick, or like that would be, you know,
right?
So there's kind of that, then kind of trying to wrap and then put kind of that jacket hat on, if you will, okay, now I have this disease, and then what does that look like, you know?
Do you think that, well, before I ask that question, let me ask this one. If has this been in your family prior, or are you the first?
I was the first one that's been diagnosed.
Okay. But you're not sure.
So no,
if it was
no family
else.
History, right, that we know of. No, correct. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Because I know that that's always a lot of the question that bounces in people's heads. You know, when they hear the stories of, you know, people talking about their diagnosis, you know, they want to know, well, was there a family history and this and that. Now, do you have children now yourself?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay. And
yes,
what's your
I have,
thoughts?
Yeah,
as...
I have. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So, what's your thoughts as a father, you know, knowing that this can get passed? You know, I was told 50-50 chance.
Mm-hmm.
How does that impact mm-hmm. you from your father's side of your brain, you know, working on that?
And, you know, there's guilt. You know, there's that I may have passed this on, but at the same point, it's not that it was done intentionally or that, you know, there was any malice behind it. So I know that the guilt
right.
perhaps doesn't have a place, but it's there. You know, but then also there's kind of, and I also feel there's kind of that just being real mindful of them. And, you know, my kids know too that I have it. So it's a very open topic in our house. And it's kind of one of those, we'll have to kind of just, you know, wait and see. So there's definitely, I find myself being more and have a little more of a discerning eye on things and almost watching for things,
right.
More so than I would if I didn't have the disease. Cause I know what to look for, you know.
Are you, or would you think that you're treated different since your diagnosis? Do you feel like you are from people that know what you have?
No, I don't feel like that. No, I don't feel like that at all. I feel like, you know, there's certainly little things, you know, from things of, you know, at my parents' house, we have this really old chandelier that my grandfather made. It's just, and it's hanging from the ceiling. And so I used to love,
right,
you know, lighting the candles, and it's really a struggle for me now. So there's those kind of things where, you know, my family knows mm-hmm. I can't go do that, or, you know, I can't put dishes away at home up really high, or, so,
right,
you know, am I treated differently? No, but everybody's a little mindful of that. And,
right,
right. You know, for me to, you know, for them to be on the lookout for my stubborn nature that wants to, no, darn it, I'm going to put the dish up high because I can do it. And you know, by definition, I'm sure they do, but it's, you know, it's kind of just making sure that I'm not being careless and just being mindful to not put me in a situation that I could, you know, hurt myself or do something that, you know, could potentially be unsafe.
Now, besides working at making this meeting group in the Chicagoland area, you've also been involved with some clinical trials,
yeah,
which I know a lot of us listening now are probably a little interested in that. Like, ooh, you know, you're to hear from someone that's gone through those. What can you tell us about the clinical trials that you've been involved with?
They are amazing. I have absolutely loved my experience doing those. I'm participating in my second one as we speak. Three years ago, because I started my first clinical trial. I was in Rochester, New York, at University of Rochester, 3-4 months after I got diagnosed for my first clinical trial. So that was something that my neurologist, who, you know, will add to the list of what reason she's amazing, reached out to Dr. Tawil at University of Rochester, I think like the day or two after I got diagnosed, and said, hey, I have a patient, 36-year-old male, walking, you know, willing to take any, you know, be part of any clinical research trials. Do you want him? And the resounding yes, please send him our way. So the first trial I was a part of didn't have any medication. It was kind of a way to figure out how to measure progress. So as we, you know, as we evolve into kind of getting closer to developing some sort of drug or treatment plan for the disease, we need to figure out, are people getting better? We can't just say, hey, how are you feeling better? Yes, I am. Okay, well, what does that
right.
mean? You know, we need to quantify that. We got to say, how are we getting better? So the clinical trial I did, 3 years ago was kind of a way to kind of measure that. So I did, the 6-minute walk tests, which if people have read some of the research papers that are out there, that's been one of those things where you just walk kind of in a circle for 6 minutes and see how far you can go. And then did a bunch of various, strength activities where I was pushing and pulling various muscles, and I was hooked up to a computer and it was measuring, strength. And then took a bunch of questionnaires, again, kind of about symptoms, how I'm feeling physically, emotionally. And again, all with the broad picture goal of figuring out some research methods that we could implement to figure out if, when drugs come on the market, are they working? Are patients getting stronger, or is it helping? So that was the first one I did. So that one wrapped up. It was actually the last one in on that study. That was pretty cool. So I helped finish that study, which was awesome. But then what's kind of cool, so I'm part of the trial that I'm doing now is the one where I'm taking recumbent human growth hormone every day and testosterone once every 2 weeks. Over a period of 9 months. So I started that 2 weeks ago. So I went out, I just got back from there a few weeks ago. But what was cool being there is I basically did all the same exercises I did 3 years ago. So I kind of was able to zoom out and see that I helped lay the foundation for this study. So if I hadn't participated 3 years ago, to help them figure out what these research methods are, do they work, do they measure progression, any of that. If I hadn't done that, or the rest of us hadn't participated in that, we wouldn't get to where we're at now. Well, we're administering drugs finally, and we're seeing, hey, do these work, do they not? So that was kind of a really cool experience for me to be really kind of zoom out and have this sense of gratitude, like that I help lay the foundation for this so that we can hopefully get these drugs to market quicker and see if it's going to help people. So, So yeah, they've been awesome. I've really enjoyed my experience. The staff there at the University of Rochester is amazing. So nice. And selfishly, I mean, getting to pick the brain of Dr. Heatwall and Dr. Tuil, who are some of the world's leading researchers and minds on FSHD, that's just like, a nerd out heaven to ask them all these questions that I have on things. Cause there's nobody that knows more than these guys. So selfishly, that's pretty cool too, to kind of have these world leaders kind of sitting across the table from me when asking a whole bunch of questions.
Oh, absolutely. You take advantage of that situation. Volunteer for it, take every opportunity to get something out of it as you can. And that's phenomenal. I mean, for some people, I think that they would also be worried, like when you were talking about taking the HGH, right, the human growth hormone. Everybody knows what that is, especially if you're a baseball fan. And then the testosterone and stuff. So what have been the side effects thus far, if any, with you taking those?
I haven't really noticed any. I know – so some of the ones that I've experienced, so but it's tough to tell. Again, I've been on the drugs for about 2 weeks, and I'm a runner, and I've been out for a couple runs since I've been home from Rochester, and I noticed like my legs feeling really like I had ran 6 miles a day before. I felt really fatigued, but I haven't. But it's one of those, I don't know if that's life, or that's just the drugs. So I went out for a third run last week sometime, and that went pretty well. So it's one of those, like, there's nothing outwardly that I've noticed as far as it's really changed significantly in anything so far. I feel like it's so new as far as the kind of the drugs being in my system to chalk it up to, is it the drugs or is it just life that I just have some runs where I maybe didn't eat what I wanted to or should have the night before and my run was a little sluggish, cause I had some extra French fries at dinner or something, but as far as kind of the big scary ones, I'm not noticing though. And I know I had some, I was a little nervous going into them for those, the stereotypical ones, but I haven't seen any of those or haven't noticed any.
Right. That's good. That's good to know. So then you would recommend those out there that are contemplating joining any clinical trials that, for your experience, it sounds like you would say go for it.
Absolutely. I know it is a logistical challenge. I know from going from Chicago to Rochester and, we're in and out of there, in less than 24 hours. So I do realize that there is a logistical component, whether it's taking off time from work, being away from family, things like that. Now, some of the studies will reimburse your travel expenses, which helps. But so, you know, kind of taking that aside, you know, and acknowledging other people might have some difficulty getting away from family and work and stuff. But as far as the participation, absolutely, I can't speak highly enough of it. It fills me with a sense of pride to help push what we know of our disease forward. You know, we can't get closer to a cure without participating in these studies. And for me, kind of since, you know, I wouldn't say day one after the diagnosis, because I had some adjustment to do after I got the news, but certainly
yeah.
pretty quickly thereafter got on board with, you know, wanting to be a part of that and helping advance what we know, and felt like a sense of responsibility that I have to do this. I have to volunteer and go do what I can so we can advance what we know on the disease. Yeah, I can't speak highly enough of it. And I think if people can overcome the logistical challenges of just, you know, traveling and getting away from home and work and other, you know, responsibilities at home, absolutely. The staff at the University of Rochester is phenomenal. They make things super easy. And it's just a really cool experience. And I feel, I've had a chance to meet some other people who have participated, and they kind of share the same sentiment. It's this like sense of responsibility and pride that we're helping advance what we know on our disease to move forward. And that's pretty cool to be a part of.
How did you start to get involved with the FSH Society? And then of course, you know, being a leader really of the Chicagoland mm-hmm. meeting group that you started.
That started again, pretty quick after my, you know, diagnosis. I had found the society and, you know, subscribed to newsletters and things and was kind of just watching. And, you know, they have the dates for, you know, meetings and things like that. And I noticed that I didn't see anything for Chicago or even anything close to Chicago. And I remember saying that that seems weird. Chicago is one of the third biggest city in the country. How do we not have a group here? And I reached out to June and said, just basically said that, hey, is there a group here in Chicago? I haven't noticed anything posted in the newsletter at all. Is there a group or am I not seeing something? And that, you know, led to more and more discussions. And she's like, no, we don't have a group because no one's really stepped up to do that. And I said, well, I'll do it. And so, yeah, shortly thereafter, I mean, I think it was less than a year after I got diagnosed, we had held our first meeting in the Chicagoland area.
Wow. Yeah, so you got kind of that kick in the butt, so to speak, to get active, get going, and be a part of these things immediately. Was there a catalyst in your life that like sparked in your head that instead of being kind of down about it, to turn it around and say, I'm going to get involved? Or was it just something where that's just maybe your personality?
That is definitely my personality. I've run 50-mile races because they're fun, and I like the challenge of them.
Yeah.
You know. So,
okay.
You know,
think they're fun? Yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
I know. But that's, you know, so yeah, I see a lot of things in life as challenges and kind of as obstacles, but then, you know, try to work towards moving, you know, through them and working within those obstacles. So for me, there wasn't one catalyst. It was more, and again, it was kind of this sense of responsibility and, you know, okay, so if there's not a group here in Chicago, I'll help create one because I know I'm not the only one in this area that has this disease. Chicago's too big of a city in a metropolitan area to not have anybody else with my disease in it. So I'll start it. And you know, Tim, you talked about community, you know, beginning of the show, and that's really what, for me, it's been a part of that too, is wanting to find other people and build a community. And, you know, while, you know, I love my family and my friends are all amazing, supportive and encouraging, but there's something different about sitting across the table from somebody who has the same mm-hmm. disease you do. And it's mm-hmm. not good, bad, but it's different. And
right.
I had that need to connect with others as well. And so then that responsibility of, well, if there's not one, then I'm going to help create one because I know I'm not the only one in this area that feels the same way I do. Other people want to connect too.
What was that feeling like when you were, you know, approaching your first meeting? Were you afraid that no one would be there, or did you already know? I mean, was there some anxiety built around it a little bit? Like, here you go, you know, you wanted to start this. Now here it is.
Yeah, I mean, certainly there was anxiety. People had RSVP'd, and I knew people were, you know, some people were going to be there, and so I knew that. And June had made the trip out gratefully, so I knew, you know, June was going to be there for the first one, and so yeah, there was some anxiety leading into it, you know, what to expect, and you know, what are we going to do, and you know, I had a kind of a plan of what we were, you know, going to kind of talk about and such, but. I got to tell you, it was one of the most powerful experiences in my life, sitting in that same Starbucks, Tim, where you were at for our last meeting. I can't remember if there were maybe four or five of us that had the disease. There were more people, you know, spouses and significant others and stuff. But it was the first time that the five of us had ever looked at anybody in the eyes that had FSHD. And we all had this, like, moment where nobody spoke. And it was this kind of like, holy cow, powerful moment, like overwashing of like gratitude and like, just, yeah, it was a really powerful moment and I'll never forget that. And it was huge. So that was, you know, one of my big takeaways was just kind of the power in that, having someone you can look across and look in the eyes and they can kind of nod at you and be like, yeah, I know too. Yeah. You know, me too. And there's huge power in that. And that part I didn't expect and I wasn't looking for that, but that exceeded my expectations.
What advice do you, and you've already given, I think, some sprinkled in with all your answers today, but specifically what advice could you give someone that maybe is recently diagnosed listening now, maybe they found the FSH Society just this week or something, and they're dealing with their diagnosis of what this is, and you know, they're given these terms of muscular dystrophy and oh boy, and so from Dave Lucas to them, what do you say to those?
I say email me and call me or reach out. Because I feel, you know, again, it's that power of community and connection, and I felt lost, you know, when I got my diagnosis. I didn't, you know, I knew the society was there, but I didn't know what else is out there. And so I, you know, there's that, you know, piece of wanting to connect and try to help, you know, everybody's, in my experience, everybody with this disease is affected differently. And there's no, you know, there's no script on how this thing goes for anybody. And, but that doesn't mean, you know, we can't, again, have that shared power of community and connection to talk about what this disease is, what it isn't, and kind of what we learned. You know, but if they don't reach out to me, reach out to somebody else, you know, with, you know, whether it's society itself. I mean, everybody I've dealt with there is absolutely phenomenal and has the, you know, power to connect other people to them. Because I think that's the biggest piece, is to not stay in isolation, you know, to kind of reach out and just connect with one person. It's not about connecting with 100 or 1,000 because that's overwhelming. Start with one and go from there.
How can people find you or find your meeting group, or, you know, get in touch when the next one is going to be at?
I know our meeting group, our meeting dates are posted on the FSH Society's website. I know, you know, we do have a Facebook group, Chicagoland FSH Society chapter. It's a closed group, so just send an invite or certainly connect me on Facebook. You know, that's definitely a way to get in touch, or email, or, you know, again, through the society too. So that's definitely a way to get in touch, and I would love to do that.
Awesome. I do appreciate you being on today, Dave. You know, your story is fantastic. I really also implore people to take a look at the FSH Society website, because I believe that your one of your more current Facebook posts about your diagnosis, a little bit of a really fantastic post that you wrote up. It's got a great picture of you with the FSH, you know, shirt on, and FSHD Day shirt on, and the story that you wrote there was very well done. You really put your heart on your sleeve, and I think people should read that. That's inspiring within itself. So I definitely direct people to that. So you're a darn good writer as well as a good meeting leader and obviously a great guest.
Thank you.
We appreciate you being on today. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me, and it's been a lot of fun. So, and I look forward to seeing you hopefully next month at our next meeting. And if not,
absolutely.
I know we'll be in touch very soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim. Take care.
All right. That is Dave Lucas. That's right. You can find him on Facebook. You can find the meeting groups all through FSHSociety.org. Chicagoland area. It's a big area. And guys, come on. I'm driving from Milwaukee. Worth the drive 100% to get in touch with other people. And like he said, to make that connection. Why don't we take another break? When we come back, we'll have some news and notes with June Kinoshita. You are listening to the FSH Society Radio Show.
Hi, I'm Max Adler, and I played Dave Karofsky on the TV series Glee. Growing up, I saw firsthand how devastating muscular dystrophy can be. My mother and my grandmother both had it, a type called facioscapulohumeral, or FSHD. Without a cure, my family and I stood by helplessly as they were robbed of being able to do the simplest everyday tasks like chew their food, reach for a cup on a high shelf, or walk unsupported. FSHD is one of the most common muscular dystrophies. It attacks your face, your shoulders, arms, and legs. It's devastating, but it doesn't have to be this way. 500,000 people have this disease. Many doctors don't even recognize it. The FSH Society is here to help patients get the care they need. They are funding research that is leading to scientific breakthroughs, bringing us closer to treatments and to a cure every day. You can help us get there faster. Learn, act, and give at FSHSociety.org.
Hey, welcome back to the show, FSH Society Radio. Thanks for being here. Special guest tonight was Dave Lucas. Came on to talk about his Chicagoland meeting group. Just great to have his story shared. Great to have him on. Fantastic guest. Just fantastic. I do implore you to go to FSHSociety.org and go ahead and pull up his story. It is on there. Or search for him on Facebook. Dave Lucas has a great write-up about his story. The diagnostic process all the way to current time of him starting the meeting group and so on. Fantastic. Great individual. So I was happy to have him on. Stay tuned next month. June 27th will be our next show with Kurt Calder. He's the CEO of Anson Calder. That's AnsonCalder.com. Talked a little bit about that in the beginning of the show where they have fantastic products. They're based out of New York City. Craft Innovation Contemporary Leather Goods, AnsonCarter.com, and they have a give back to the FSH Society, and we're going to talk to him on the next show. But for right now, we're going to load up our news and notes segment here, as we'd love to have June Kinoshita on as much as we can each month, we hope, so she can share her great news of what's going on with the FSH Society. Hello, June. Are you there?
Hey, I'm here. I've been listening. I just love the two of you guys so much, I have to say. You're both leaders. The way you dealt so forthrightly and looked for something positive to do with your diagnosis is just, it just is so inspiring and affirming. And we couldn't do the work we do. We couldn't reach the people and support the people that, you know, we're working for without guys like you. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for saying so. Dave is a fantastic guy. I think, as soon as I walked into that meeting group, he made me feel very welcoming immediately. And, and I could see why, people were drawn to come to that meeting group. Fantastic person. I think he's doing just a great job. He represents the FSH Society fantastically. So what do you have for news this month, June?
Well, our big thing this month is our Connect meeting and our International Research Conference happening less than 10 days away. I mean, on June 8th to the 10th in Las Vegas, and we are going all out to get that ready. But I'm very excited about it. I'll be taking notes furiously at the research conference and sharing, you know, the hot news from there, probably at our next radio show or the one after. And the Connect meeting, I have a panel, some of the panel people working on treatments that are getting close to the clinic, to getting into clinical trials. And there are so many of them that it's unbelievable. I had to stop it at like 9 or 10 people. I said, we can't fit any more people on the stage. You know, half of them are biotechs and half are academics. I mean, it's a sea change from even just 2 years, 2.5 years ago when we had the last meeting. So we're going to videotape all that. We try as much as possible to capture these meetings because I know most people can't get to them physically. So we record them. We'll be posting them on our website. We just posted a series of talks from the Rochester Family Day that was held in early April. So for those of you who want to see what's been going on, we had some outstanding researchers, including Dr. Tawil, Dr. Statlin, Dr. Tapscott. I was thinking about that when Dave was talking about volunteering for studies at Rochester. These are the people who are behind those studies. So they are all up on our YouTube channel. Some meetings coming up I wanted people to be aware of. Next Thursday night is the monthly Connecticut Connections virtual meeting. Everybody's welcome to join that. We also have meetings in, Charlotte. Charlotte, North Carolina on June 23rd, I believe, and in New York City on, I think it's July 16th. I'm driving from here. I can't look at my calendar, but Saturdays, look on our calendar, they're there. And we have a great webinar coming up on June 19th. That's just in 3 weeks or so, with Dr. John Bach, who is probably the leading kind of respiratory care specialist. Mm. And fortunately, most people with FSHD don't experience respiratory issues, but it can happen. So it's really important for everybody to understand, what to look for. Like, even if you never get it, as a kid, I was one of these nerds who read the encyclopedia. I read about all these terrible diseases and, I didn't get any of them, but every now and then something will come up and you're like, I know what that is. So it's kind of like that. It's just to educate yourself and know what to look for, because prevention is much better than dealing with things when they get out of hand. So so that's what's coming up. And the big thing in the month of June is World FSHD Day. So, our spring campaign, which wraps up tomorrow, which, by the way, we still have money on the table. Every donation made before midnight tomorrow will be matched dollar for dollar. And when that wraps up, we're launching our World FSHD Day campaign, and that is really around raising awareness. And we're going with this orange slice selfie concept again, sharing these images. The idea there is just to get people to say, why are you doing this? What's this orange smile? What does it represent? And start a conversation about what FSHD is. And we have a really cool video that we shot in Boston. A lot of you may have heard of Lexi Pappas, who made a kind of documentary about her family, who had FSHD in 3 generations. So she worked with us to shoot this video involving another woman with FSHD here in the Boston area. And it's called I'm blanking on the exact title, but it's really, the idea really is, is there anything holding you back? And the idea here is that, when you get a diagnosis like FSHD or start experiencing problems, you might think about, you can kind of obsess about what you can't do anymore, but there's a lot you can do and a lot we should do, and we shouldn't let something like this hold you back. And there are these great stories of people, just conversations about what's holding you back, and go for it. So that, you'll see that on our website in a couple of days. And we have all kinds of things that we would love people to do to help raise awareness for World FSHD Day. So everything from writing to your local, the mayor of your town or your governor to say, June 20th is World FSHD Day, and this is important to the people in our state or in our communities who are affected. We'd like to have this declared, an official World FSHD Awareness Day, so you can write letters like that. We have, templates that you can use to write those letters to your own local representative. You could write to, the Department of Transportation, or people are in charge of buildings on your college campus or whatever, to light up a building in the color orange. You can do things like that. And also, we have just launched a peer-to-peer fundraising platform. We're using it for our walk and rolls, and I hope you're all aware that we now have a signature national event that anyone, anywhere, if you want to do something to make a difference, you could organize a walk and roll, and we have this great platform, this web platform that lets you post what you're doing, put out a message, and then, send it out to all your social, your friends. And it's an incredibly effective way. People are always surprised at how their friends and their family and their network responds, and you'll raise way more than you ever thought possible. And so, so you can do that for anything. It doesn't have to be a walk. It could be just, I'm having a birthday, or I'm having a wedding anniversary, and I want to celebrate it by, whatever it is. Donate your special event, special day, to your fundraiser. So we will have a blog post about that towards the end of the week. So keep an eye out for that. This is a month to just really get activated and, make a pledge to yourself.
Absolutely.
Stop putting it off.
Well, thanks, June, for joining us, giving those great updates. Yeah, that's all there on fshsociety.org. We will direct them to take a look at all those things you talked about, and they can read about more details. Thanks again.
You're very welcome. Talk to you soon. Thank you so much,
Excellent.
Tim.
Thank you.
Bye.
So that's June Kinoshita. She joined us tonight, giving us some news and notes. Yeah, as she was talking about that, the FSH World FSHD Day. It's in my favorite color, orange, as you mentioned, with the orange smiles. It's all over. You can find that link on fshsociety.org. And the cool thing is, if you look on there, it says download World FSHD Day Toolkit here. So it's real simple ways to get you easily involved for June 20th, big day. I know I did something with my work last year, raised awareness. We had a big cookout. We had some items that we did for auction. We had some raffles just to donate a little bit of money, a little bit of awareness. At my work, we even did something silly. Everybody loves to wear jeans at my work because it's usually business casual. Well, if you get a jean day pass, I mean, that's like gold where I work. So if you wore orange on June 20th last year, everybody got a jean day pass. And I'll tell you, the place is flooded with the color orange. So there's a lot of cool ideas out there that you can use to kind of help raise awareness in your corner of the world. Let's infiltrate the rest of the world of what FSHD Day is. So those are fantastic things that June shared with us. I do thank my guest tonight again, Dave Lucas. I'm glad he was on. Glad he took the time to share his story. There's something I wanted to share about him real quick, and that is this quote that I wanted to leave you with tonight. And that is this. Because I pulled it out of his Facebook post that I talked to you about. I think you all should really look it up. But he says here, my FSHD diagnosis kicked my ass for a while. But I stood up, dusted myself off, wiped away the tears, and used this diagnosis and the disease as fuel to make me a better person. Quote, unquote, that is Dave Lucas. Inspiration. I hope he has given you some today to carry it in. So, lot in June. Go ahead, look all those events up on fshsociety.org. Come back next month, June 27th. We have Kurt Calder on, the CEO of Anson Calder. Visit AnsonCalder.com. Buy some stuff. Support FSH Society. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next month. Take care. You've been listening to the FSH Society Radio Show.